The third parak, starting with Mishnah Aleph, discusses once all of the Shkolim have reached Yerushalayim, they were placed in a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were drawn on three times a year before each of the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, in order to be used for the Korbanos Hatzibur. So the Mishnah says, B'shlosha Prakim Bashana, Tormim Es HaLishka, three times a year, the Lishka, that's the chamber in which the Shkalim were kept, were drawn upon, and those were B'fros HaPesach, B'fros HaTzeres, B'fros HaChag, 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuos, and 15 days before Sukkot. Pros means half. There's a halacha that Sholim B'dorshim Konagam HaChad Shloshim Yom, that we learn the halachas 30 days before a given holiday, in particular Pesach, but it's applied to the other Chagim as well. So halfway through that period is when they would take the Shkalim, they would draw the Shkalim from that chamber to be used for the Korban HaTzibur in that period until the next drawing throughout the year. So just to give dates on those, 15 days, 15 days, and 50 days, 15 days before each of the Shalosh Regalim. When it comes to Pesach, Pesach falls on the 15th of Nisan, so 15 days prior thereto would be the last day of Adar, 15 days before Shavuos. Shavuos is pegged to when Pesach was. We count the Sfiras Omer from the second day of Pesach. So Shavuos is on the 50th day afterward. We count 49 days, and on the 50th day is Shavuos. So 15 days before that is the 35th day of the Omer. And when it comes to 15 days before Sukkot, that would wind up the last day of Elul. Now the Mishnah is going to talk about a related concept of Ma'aser Behema. The Mishnah is going to get a little bit complicated at this point, because we're going to see a three-way machlokas. Ma'aser Behema, what's the concept? Ma'aser Behema is giving 1 out of 10 kosher animals that were born into our flock in the prior year. That's why it's called Ma'aser Behema. Ma'aser is Eser, 1 out of every 10 of the Behema, of the kosher animals. That would be taken, and there's an important machlokas that will impact our Mishnah a little bit later on as to when is the cutoff. Is the cutoff for the year on the first of Elul or 30 days later on the first of Tishrei? So we're going to talk about Ma'aser Behema. Now, Ma'aser Behema, another important piece of information is that Ma'aser Behema is not like the Trumas and Ma'aseres of taking off of produce in our fields. When we have vegetables, we have fruits that we have grown or that we have purchased and that have not been had Trumas and Ma'aseres taken yet, that produce is Tevel. Tevel means you cannot eat it until Trumas and Ma'aseres are taken from it. That is not the same concept when it comes to the Ma'aser Behema. Those new animals that were born in the past year, it is permitted to eat, to sell those animals. They are not prohibited to us. You're mutter to eat it. However, at the cutoff day, we make a computation as to what we have now. And at that point, we give Ma'aser Behema. The way technically it worked is you'd put them all into a pen and you'd have them come out one at a time, and you mark the 10th one with a red dye to know which of the animals is the Ma'aser Behema to be given to the Beis HaMikdash. So here we go as follows. What were the cutoff days for the Ma'aser Behema? In fact, Chazal instituted that although you compute it once a year, they made three cutoffs throughout the year. Why did they do that? Because Klal Yisrael, although they were permitted to use the animals, they refrained from using the animals. They wanted to wait until they did the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema at the end of that year. That caused a problem, because if they're not using the animals, we didn't have enough animals for the korbanos during the Shalosh Regalim. So Chazal instituted that we should take off the Ma'aser Behema three times a year, and rabbinically, it would be prohibited to use the animals that were born during that time period until you took the Ma'aser Behema. You take the Ma'aser Behema, they made those three periods close to the Shalosh Regalim. In other words, that ensured that you take the Ma'aser Behema, now you're permitted to use those animals, and we had sufficient animals for the regal that was coming up. So the Mishnah says, V'hen granos the Ma'aser Behema, these 3 days that we mentioned before, 15 days before each of the Shalosh Regalim, those were also the cutoff dates for the Ma'aser Behema, according to Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that at those times the mitzvah Ma'aser Behema was also done 15 days before, and then for each of the Shalosh Regalim, we were permitted to use the new animals, and there was a sufficient supply of animals for the korbanos during those Shalosh Regalim. Each of the Regalim, as it was done, computed separately. So each one had a goren for the Maaser Behema before it and had its animals necessary for that given of the Shalosh Regalim. So that is opinion number one as it relates to the Maaser Behema, that it was 15 days before, just like the taking of the Shkalim, drawing of the Shkalim from the Lishka. The second opinion, Ben Azai Omer, is going to differ on each of the three dates when it comes to taking the Maaser Behema. So the next opinion, Ben Azai Omer, Be'esrim V'tisha Ba'adar, when it came to the taking of the Maaser Behema, when it came to Pesach, it was the 29th of Adar. In other words, there's not a big machlokas here. Ben Azai agrees that it's 15 days before Pesach as well, and we're going to see that he says the same thing when it comes to Sukkot. It's 15 days. Oh, no, Sukkot is going to be a little bit different. Sorry about that. But when it comes to Pesach, he's going to say that it's 15 days before Pesach, but there are differences according to Ben Azai, the prior month. In other words, Adar is always going to be a shortened month. It's always going to be Chaser, a month in Halacha, and can be either 29 days or 30 days. So according to Ben Azai, Adar, the month prior to Pesach, is always going to be 29 days long. So in other words, 15 days before Pesach is always going to fall on the 29th of Adar. According to the first opinion, Rabbi Akiva, we simply said it's 15 days before Pesach. He's of the view that Adar, the month before Pesach, can be either 29 days or 30 days. So in other words, 15 days before can be either on the 29th or the 30th of Adar, whereas Ben Azai is of the view it can only fall on the 29th of Adar. That's when it comes to Pesach. When it comes to Shavuos, we said the first view, Rabbi Akiva, is 15 days before Shavuos as well. Ben Azai disagrees. He says, Ube'achad b'Sivan. It's on the 3rd of Sivan. In other words, it's not 15 days before Shavuos, it's only 5 days before Shavuos. His concern here is that if it's all the way before 15 days before Shavuos, like Rabbi Akiva says, and that's when we can start using our animals, that's a long period that we may use up the animals, because we don't have that many animals from Pesach till Shavuos. It's not that long a time period. So if you let the Goren be 15 days before Shavuos, like the first opinion, Rabbi Akiva, you may not have a sufficient amount of animals to use for Shavuos. Accordingly, Ben Azai shortens the time period, says it's on the first of Sivan, 5 days before Shavuos, and certainly we would have a sufficient amount of animals then for Shavuos. And when it comes to Sukkot, this is going to be a little bit complicated. He says, Ube'esrim v'tisha ba'av. He's of the view that it's the 29th of Av. In other words, 30 days before Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was 15 days before Sukkot, and now Ben Azai is adding 30 days before that. Why is he doing that? So as we mentioned before, it's unclear whether the Doraisa cutoff time for giving Maaser Behema is on the first of Elul or the first of Tishrei. And there's a halacha that the animals that are born in 1 year, you cannot be mafrish the Maaser for animals of a different year. Accordingly, we have a doubt about this 1 month of Elul. Is it in this year or next year? So what Ben Azai does is you do a computation right before that suffix, that month that we don't know, is it for this year or for next year. So before that suffix happens, make a computation on the 29th of Av, the day before Elul starts, and then Elul is actually computed separately for all the animals that are a suffix, and then we continue counting our Maaser Behema thereafter. So that's why he has the Esrim V'tisha B'Av 30 days prior before Rabbi Akiva, because that month of Elul is our problematic month. And now we're going to get into the third opinion, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amrim. They're of the view, Be'echad B'Nisan. So when it comes to Pesach, it's on the first of Nisan. In other words, they say we do 14 days before Pesach, not 15 days. Why? Because there's an opinion that you have to learn the halachas of Pesach, not 30 days before, and Rabbi Akiva said we're going to take the Shkalim and the Maaser 15 days halfway through that. The other opinion is that you learn the halachas of Pesach 14 days before. It's only a 2-week period that we have to learn the halachas. We have a privilege to learn the halachas, and accordingly we peg the Maaser Behema to that period, which is 14 days before. It winds up on the 1st of Nisan. It's 14 days before Pesach starts on the 15th of Nisan. And when it comes to the second period of Shavuos, Be'echad B'Sivan, this third opinion agrees with Ben Azai, which was the second opinion, that we take the Maaser Behema 5 days before Shavuos because of the concern that we shouldn't be using them all up for Shavuos, so make it pretty close to Shavuos. And when it comes to taking of Sukkot, It's very interesting. It says Be'esrim v'tisha be'elul. Instead of 15 days before Sukkos, instead of 14 days before Sukkos, it's 15 days before Sukkos. In other words, according to this opinion, there's a difference. When it came to Pesach, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon said it's 14 days because you should be learning the halachas 14 days before the Chag. And when it came to Sukkos, they say 15 days before. So what's the difference? That's what the Mishnah asks in this third opinion. Why did they say when it came to Sukkos that we do the Ma'aser Behema 15 days before, which is the 29th day of Elul, v'lo amru be'echad b'tishrei, and they didn't say it's like Sukkos, they didn't say it's on the first day of Tishrei, which would have been 14 days before, just like Pesach, it's 15 days before when it comes to Sukkos. So the Mishnah says, when it comes to Sukkos, ideally we would have done it also 14 days before, do the Ma'aser Behema, however, Mineshu Yom to 14 days before Sukkos falls out on none other, the first of Tishrei would be Rosh Hashanah. And we can't take the Ma'aser Behema on Rosh Hashanah, v'iyav shal aser b'yom tov. You can't take the Ma'aser of the animals on Yom Tov. So we explain part of the process and different explanations why it can't be done on Rosh Hashanah. But the primary explanation is part of the process. When we mark the animal with a red dye, that is the Isser to erase of Tzoveya. That is coloring. So we're not allowed to do it on Rosh Hashanah. Lefichach hikdimuhu le'esrim v'tisha be'elul. Accordingly, when it came to Sukkos, they made it one day earlier, the day before Rosh Hashanah, which comes out on the 29th day of Elul. That's 15 days before Sukkos, not 14 days before Sukkos. Mishnah Beis, we've discussed previously that at three times during the year, 15 days before each of the Shalosh Regalim, they would draw on the shkalim in the lishka, in the chamber, and it's called the trumas halishka, withdrawing the shkalim from the lishka. So now we are going to discuss about the procedure of how that was done each of those three times, 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuos, and 15 days before Sukkot. So the Mishnah Beis, says as follows, b'shalosh kupos shel shalosh shalosh sin, what they would do is they would have three baskets, and each one would be able to hold three se'ah, that's a volume, just to give rough equivalents of what it would be nowadays, approximately 2 to 4 gallons, a little bit more than 2, a little bit less than 4 gallons, or on liter scale, approximately 8 to 14 liters, those are just approximations, that each of those baskets, they would load them up with shkalim. So the Mishnah says as follows, b'sholos kupas, they would have three of those baskets, each one would hold, shel sholosh sholosh se'in, would hold three se'ah, tor mimes halishka, they would take from the trumas halishka, and they would fill each of those three for a total of 9 se'ah, v'kasuv behen aleph beis gimel, and it was written on each of them, aleph, then Beis, then Gimel, on each of the three. The first one that they filled was Aleph, second Beis, third one is Gimel. The reason for that is that they would use them in the order in which the mitzvah was done. So with Aleph being first, they would use the Shkalim to be purchasing the Korbanos, and then Beis, and then thereafter Gimel. Rabbi Yishmol Omer Yevanis Kasu Behen, it was actually written in Greek, Alpha Besa Gamla. The next part of the Mishnah discusses certain limitations on the clothing or various other items that the people dealing with the Shkalim were limited to because of the concern, not that they would steal Chas V'Shalom, they're going into the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash, but it would give off the appearance to others that possibly they were doing something wrong. So the concern here is not that intrinsically that they would steal, but the appearance indeed matters, and we want to make sure that we give off proper, innocent appearances so we will not be scrutinized by others in their belief that we are doing something wrong. In fact, this is the Isser, likely the Isser Doraisa of Chshad. We're more familiar with calling it Maris Ayin, that we give off the appearance of doing something wrong, even though we're not doing something wrong. There's a discussion amongst the poskim if Chshad and Maris Ayin is the same prohibition, if they're different prohibitions, just similar, if Chshad is a Doraisa, Maris Ayin is a Derabanan. That's his whole discussion in the post-scheme. We'll just focus on what the Mishnah says and maybe give some applications at the end. Einas torem nichnas lolabargod chafu, somebody who is going into the treasury and dealing with the shkalim, doing the trima shalishka, withdrawing the shkalim, doing any activities in there, was prohibited from wearing a garment that had a hem. Concern is people would view it as that's a place that you could stash the shkalim, you could stash the money in. V'lo b'minal, go in, don't wear shoes. You can stash coins and shoes. v'lo b'sandal, not in sandals. V'lo b'tfilin, you could hide it in the tfilin. V'lo b'kamei, an amulet, you could open the amulet and stuff some coins in there. And the concern here is that if that person, after being in the treasury in that lishka, shema ye'ani, would become impoverished, people would view it as v'yomru. Me'avon ha'lishka hani. It must be, people would say, that he stole from the lishka when he was in the treasury. And accordingly, this is a punishment that he has become impoverished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing him for having stolen. Oh, Shema Yashir, or maybe the person will have become wealthy. And accordingly, V'yomru, people who know him, who see him, who see the wealth, they will assume mitrumas halishka eshir. They'll say, hey, he must have become wealthy because he stole from the lishka when he was dealing with the shkalim of the Beis HaMikdash. We want to avoid that. Appearances matter. And the Mishnah continues and says that, lefisha adam tzarech latzeis yedei habrios, kiderech shetzarech latzeis yamei hamakom. Just like we have to be careful how we appear in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu when a Kadosh Baruch Hu scrutinizes us, so too we have to tzarech latzeis yedei habrios. We also have to be careful how people will scrutinize us, and we have to take actions that are above scrutiny. And the Mishnah brings two psukim for this, Shneamar, one pasuk from Chumash, Bamidbar, V'yisim nakim, me'ashem, u'mi'yisro. We have to appear pure and innocent in front of not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also the members of Klal Yisrael. And the second pasuk, V'omer, from Mishlei, u'metza chen v'seichel tov be'enei Elokim v'adam, that we should find favor and people should understand what we're doing, not only in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also in the eyes of individuals. In fact, this concept of Chshadas and Marasayin, there's a lot discussed in the poskim in this regard. For example, doing actions that are fundamentally permitted but give off the appearance of doing something wrong. For example, somebody who has a business meeting in a treif restaurant is not going in there to have treif. He's not going to eat anything or only kosher fruits or whatever. But the question is, are you permitted to go not because you're going to do something wrong, but because of marasayin or chshad, or somebody who is serving parv ice cream or non-dairy creamer after a meat meal? Is there a problem of marasayin wearing a sheitel, as opposed to techo, people thinking that a Jewish from woman is not covering her hair? So there are many examples of the applications of chshad and all these questions, all those that I mentioned, obviously we are lenient on, but this question does come up in numerous scenarios, the isser of chshad and marasayin. Even though we're not fundamentally doing anything wrong, we have to be careful to not give the appearance that we are doing something wrong. Mishnah Gimel starts out by describing the acts, the practices of Rabbi Gamliel and the members of his family as it pertained to their giving their respective shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash. El Beis Rabban Gamliel, Hayanichnas, they would go in on the day that they were actually doing the Trumas Halishka, when they were withdrawing from the chamber and putting the shkalim into the three baskets that we mentioned in the prior Mishnah, Hayanichnas v'shiklo bein etzbaosav, and they were careful to keep their shkalim that they were donated between their fingers. In other words, they wanted to make it clear to everyone that they were giving the shkalim not to violate any prohibition of chshad or marasayin, that people would think that we're doing something inappropriate in the chamber of the Beis HaMikdash where all the shkalim were. Vizorko lifnei haTorah, and they would throw it, literally throw it in front of the person who was drawing or about to draw from the whole mass of shkalim and put it into the baskets. They wanted to do that to ensure that there was on top of the pile, because they wanted to have a hiddur mitzvah to make sure that their shekel was placed in one of the three baskets and would be used for the korbanos hatzibur, even though the shkalim that were in the lishka, even though the korbanos, when they were sacrificed, would count not only for all the shkalim in the lishka, even those that weren't put in the baskets, even those that were in transit, as we discussed in the past, even those that weren't in transit in the past, but will be in transit, the korbanos counted for everyone. Despite that, the house of Rabbi Gamliel wanted this special hiddur to ensure that their shekel was actually chosen to be put in the baskets and actually used to bring the korbanos hatzibur, v'hatorim, and the person who was drawing, who was taking the shkalim from the whole mass in the lishka and putting it into the three baskets, miskaven, he would specifically take theirs, v'dochfo l'kupa, and would put it into one of those three baskets in front of him to ensure that Rabbi Gamliel and his families, their shkalim, were chosen to be included. Then the Mishnah now continues. We're about to start with the individual taking the shkalim from the whole collection of shkalim and putting it into the three baskets there, ein atorem Torem, he is not permitted to start withdrawing, taking the shkolim and putting it into the baskets, Ad Shiomar Lam, until he says to the other people who were in the chamber, the Beis HaMikdash administrators that were standing in the room or right outside the room, effectively asking them permission, Etrom, should I start? Should I get going? This is the formality of how they started. Behen Omrim La, and they would respond three times more significant than saying it once, Trom, 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 go ahead, start the withdrawal process of taking from the mass of shkolim and putting it into the three baskets, and they would say it Sholosh Pamim, they would say, do this process, they would say it three times to add to the hiddur, to add to the stress that we're doing this now for the special mitzvah of Trumas Halishka. Mishnah Daled continues discussing the procedure of withdrawing the shkolim from everything that has been collected, and we're going to start with the Mishnah Daled of once we've withdrawn from the whole mass of the shkolim that are in the lishka in the chamber, and we've taken from them and put them into three baskets, and there's a good amount that is left over in the lishka still. So Taramis Arishona, we did it the first time. This is 15 days before Pesach, and with the remainder of all the shkolim left there, umechape bik tablaos, we cover them with a leather cover. We will explain why in a little bit. Shnia, we get to the second withdrawal, in other words, 15 days before Shavuos, and we do withdrawal again, the same procedure, into the same size, three baskets, umechape bik tablaos, and again, now we cover everything as well with a leather cover. Eshlishis, this is for Sukkot, 15 days before Sukkot, lo haya mechape, we didn't used to cover it. What's going on here? So in fact, the shkolim used to arrive, ideally, they should arrive before Pesach, before the first of Nisan, so they can be used on with the first withdrawal, but in fact, not everything would arrive on time, especially for places that were further out. The further out you were, the more likely it was that the shkolim would come later. So what's going on here is that they would cover after withdrawing from Pesach, because that was likely from closer places, the places in Eretz Yisrael, and everything that arrived after that first withdrawal was likely from cities outside of Israel, but close to Israel. So we withdraw from those shkolim, and we cover those up, and the third drawing, meaning everything that comes after the second drawing, would come from even further out, countries that were further out, not even adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, and the third drawing would be from those shkolim that came the latest. So the Mishnah here explains, why would we cover up after the first and second time? Sema yishkach v'yitrom min hadavar hatarum. The concern here is that the second time, if we don't cover up from what we already took, from what we withdrew on the 15 days before Pesach, there's a concern here that on the second time we draw from the treasury, we may take from coins that we've already drawn on the first time. And then the third time, we may draw on coins that we drew on the second time and the first time. Accordingly, we cover up the old coins and we only withdraw from the new coins. So the Mishnah says even further detail in explaining why Tarim is a Rishona Neshem Eretz Yisrael. The first time we're taking, which is the Pesach drawing, we have in mind that we're taking for the Shkalim that likely came from in Eretz Yisrael, that were collected in Eretz Yisrael. Even though when we use those coins, it's going for everyone worldwide, but still we're saying likely these coins came from Eretz Yisrael. We're drawing, we have those people in mind in Eretz Yisrael, because the actuality is the coins came from them, but when we bring the korbanos, they are going to be effective for everyone as well. Ushnia, when we're taking from the second drawing of the coins, we've covered up the first ones after we withdrawn the first withdrawal, and now we're coming Shavuos, 15 days before Shavuos, we're doing the second withdrawal from the lishka. Ushnia, the shum krachim hamukafim. Now we're having in mind these coins likely came from the various towns and cities that are outside of Eretz Yisrael, but close to Eretz Yisrael, for example, Ammon and Moab. So we're having in mind when we're taking them that we're taking from the coins of those cities, although everyone is going to be covered with the korbanos, vashlishis, and when we do the third withdrawal closer to Sukkot, 15 days before Sukkot, we're having in mind, this is Lishum Bavel, Lishum Madai, it likely came from places that are further out, Bavel, Madai, Lishum Medinos, Rachokas, and from places, countries that are further out, we are withdrawing for them, so they can actually have a chance of having their shkolim used in the karbonas, even though if they weren't actually used, they'd still be covered, but still, there's an added benefit, a nice thing, that if we actually use the shkolim for those various places, similar to what we mentioned before, that Rabbi Gamliel in the prior Mishnah wanted to ensure that his shkolim and his family were actually used in the korbanos, even though it really didn't matter effectively because everyone was included in the korbanos brought for the tzibur.